Penguin Random House Audio presents The Jolt Effect, How High Performers Overcome Customer Indecision, written and read by Matthew Dixon and Ted McKenna. This is the author, Matthew Dixon. I'll be taking us from the preface through Chapter 6. This audiobook contains numerous illustrations, which can be best accessed through the print version of the book or through the PDF that accompanies this audio version.
This is the author, Ted McKenna, and I'll be taking you from Chapter 7 through Chapter 11.
I'd like to thank my wife, Amy, and my kids, Aiden, Ethan, Nora, and Clara, all of whom find it supremely ironic and endlessly amusing that I wrote a book about how to overcome indecision.
I would like to thank my wife, Allison, and kids, Will and Ella, for the support and love. You'll now have an easier answer to the question, what is it you do again?
The burdens that make us groan and sweat, the troubles that make us fume and fret, are the things that haven't happened yet. George W. Bain. Preface. A unique moment in time. If there's one study that is the envy of every sales researcher, it's the groundbreaking work done by Professor Neil Rackham and his team, as profiled in the book Spin Selling. 12 years to complete, 35,000 sales calls observed, 116 unique factors assessed for their potential impact on sales outcomes, more than $1 million, $2.3 million in today's dollars, spent on the study. For more than 30 years, this study has been considered the gold standard of sales research. It was a study so broad, so deep, and so resource-intensive that nobody dared to even ask if it could be repeated, let alone surpassed. It wasn't the number of calls studied or the number of variables in the study that was the challenge. Advances in big data analytics, machine learning, and GPU-powered processing have made it possible to study much larger data sets and to consider far more factors than Rackham's team had. The issue has always been that many sales conversations, especially the most pivotal ones, take place in the customer's office. Collecting the data, therefore, meant committing to traveling the world, to actually sit in on those sales meetings and observe what was happening. No organization would sponsor a study like that, given the cost, time, and resources required, and especially given the uncertain outcomes of such an undertaking. But something interesting and altogether surprising happened in the spring of 2020. As the world went into lockdown due to the COVID-19 pandemic, all sales became virtual, literally overnight. For sales researchers like ourselves, this represented a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Partnering with several dozen companies, our research team went to work collecting millions of sales conversations recorded on platforms like Zoom, Teams, and WebEx, as well as the dozens of bespoke recording platforms used by companies all over the world. Using automatic speech recognition, we turned the unstructured audio from those recordings into unstructured text. Then, using a machine learning platform from a conversation intelligence company called Tether, we brought structure to that data, tagging more than 8,300 unique factors across those sales calls. Finally, we did the math to determine which of these factors drive sales performance and which do not. And what emerged from this analysis was a story that was entirely unexpected. Introduction. Stuck. For as long as sales training has been delivered and sales books have been written, there's been one singular objective we've all been focused on. How do we overcome the customer's status quo? Focusing on the customer's status quo makes perfect sense. After all, it's a formidable enemy, one that salespeople lose to all the time. Human beings have a deep-seated bias for things to remain as they are. And customers, we all know, will regularly pass on pursuing opportunities that have been clearly demonstrated to make them better off. It should come as no surprise, then, that companies have spent untold amounts of time and money on sales training, coaching, and enablement in order to help salespeople overcome the customer's status quo. sales organizations equip their reps with better scripting, tighter value proposition messaging, customer case studies, reviews, testimonials, proof points, ROI calculators, and objection handling techniques, all designed to help the customer get over the hump, to get them to say yes to their offers and no to doing more of the same. Of course, there's no shortage of opinions as to how to do this. Some say it's about building trust, while others argue it's about diagnosing needs. In fact, we wrote about this very problem in the Challenger sale more than a decade ago. In that research, we discovered that the best sellers, challengers, bring disruptive, provocative insights that reframe the customer's thinking as to how to make money, save money, or mitigate risk. What these gifted reps had figured out was that the way to get the customer to move forward is to show them that the pain of same is worse than the pain of change. But that is not what this book is about. This book is about a newer, more nefarious, and seemingly intractable problem facing salespeople today. What happens when the customer agrees that the status quo is unacceptable, that yours is the only solution that can help them attain their objectives, that the whole buying committee is on board, and you still lose? This sort of thing happens more often than you might think. In our research, we found that anywhere between 40% and 60% of deals today end up stalled in no-decision limbo. To be clear, these are customers who go through the entire sales process, consuming valuable seller time and organizational resources, perhaps even engaging in extended pilots or proof-of-concept trials, only to end up not crossing the finish line. What is a salesperson to do in this situation? When they've overcome the customer's status quo, won the battle for competitive differentiation, gotten the customer to say they want their company's solution, and yet they still don't buy? What playbook do they follow when their hard-fought deal ends up in the wasteland of inaction? When the sale ends not with a signature, but with the customer saying they still need to think about it? Our research shows that they do what they've been taught to do for years. When customers balk and start to get cold feet, sellers tend to go back to the well. They assume it must be because they haven't successfully overcome the customer's status quo. Perhaps the customer doesn't fully appreciate the problem that their solution is designed to solve. Or maybe they don't yet see enough daylight between their company's solution and that of the competition. So salespeople break out their arsenal of tools to prove to the customer the many ways their solutions will help them win. And when push comes to shove, they dial up the FUD, or fear, uncertainty, and doubt, to tap into the customer's fear of missing out. They show the customer what they stand to lose by not making this purchase today. They try to create a burning platform that the customer has no choice but to abandon. And yet, our research also shows, in very stark terms, that none of this works. In fact, these time-honored sales tactics that have been passed on from leader to manager to seller for decades aren't just unproductive, they're actually counterproductive to the goal of getting the customer off the fence. But why? This is the question our research team spent more than a year trying to answer. And in the process, we discovered something truly surprising. The status quo, which salespeople have always been taught is their biggest, if not only, enemy, actually isn't either of those things. Our research reveals that losing to the status quo is actually one of two possible reasons a deal can be lost to inaction, and is, in fact, the less menacing of the two. While the customer's preference for the status quo is no doubt a significant obstacle that every salesperson must overcome if they wish to sell anything, there is a second, more challenging obstacle that remains even after the status quo has been defeated: the customer's own inability to make a decision. What makes customer indecision such a dangerous threat to salespeople? First, indecision has a more powerful grip on the customer's mind than any preference they may have for the status quo. preference for the status quo is driven by a set of
Sample complete. Ready to continue?